You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And my good friend Ellen is here co-hosting as usual. She was off a couple of weeks and she's back.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Miss you.
4,970 miles I drove across this great country.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe, what a trip.
It was amazing.
We'll have to do a show just about that.
Oh, it was amazing. Yep.
So we have a really action-packed show today. We have Gary Rowan, who's an author, and he's here with us. He also does reviews, syndicated reviews for weekly newspapers and a lot of other stuff, and we're going to hear about him pretty soon. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you for having me.
And as you know, our listening audience, I should say, our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, is fun, unscripted, very unscripted. If we say anything to offend anybody, we're sorry, but we won't.
Yeah, we won't.
We won't. And we also have in studio with us Sonia Stratemann. And mm-hmm. Sonia brought her lovely daughter, Maya, with her. And she's here to speak about Amendment 13. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So for those of you who are listening, we've had multiple texts and calls and emails about the amendments, and people want to know about Amendment 13, which is end dog racing, but they also want to know about the other amendments as well. So we have my good friend, Susan Smith, is calling in, and Susan is going to speak with us this morning as well. She's with the Democratic Progressive Caucus, and she's going to talk a little bit with us this morning. And also, I think she might stay on the phone with us when Sonia is talking as well. So, Ellen, are you as concerned about these amendments as well? Because it's a lot. It was 13 and now it's 12.
I am. And I'm always, the part about the amendments that always get me is that the way that they word them a lot of times.
They lump a lot of things in together.
They lump a lot of stuff in together.
And that's wrong.
Unfortunately, people don't take the time to really educate themselves on what it really means. And I know you had a feeling on what the yeses were.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
Your public opinion yeses should be.
My
13
opinion
is definitely one of the yeses. We're
gonna the yeses are 3, 4, 9, and 13. That's Sita Biggie.
Right.
But also, and you know, the ones that people send me a lot of questions about, what people were asking about the voters' rights, voting rights restoration, that's a yes for sure.
Well, and
so Susan is on the phone, right?
Okay.
So let's have, hey Susan, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Sita. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, I would like to do an entire show with you as well, because I've had multiple emails and calls and texts that people want to know more about the amendments, and I've been sending them certain links that I've gotten from the Miami Herald and the Sentinel and all that. But I have in studio with us a good friend of the show, Sonia Stratemann,
mm-hmm.
and she's here to talk about Amendment 13. So, but before she talks about that, can you give our listeners a quick overview on the other amendments? You have about, let's see, what, 6 minutes? Do you have six? Can you do that in 6 minutes? Just give us a quick one.
No pressure, by
no
the way.
Pressure. Yeah. Or just pick one or two.
Okay, well,
or just pick one or two.
As fast as I can.
Yes. Or you could pick one or two.
But I can stay on the call and listen in and throw in any other piece of information. So the first thing that people need to know is there are 5 ways to change the Constitution, and 3 of those ways are being used this election cycle. 2 of the amendments were citizen-initiated amendments. 3 were put on by the Florida legislature, and the rest were put on by the Constitution Revision Commission. We still have 3 amendments that are under court challenge that might or might not be on the ballot. So I think the most dangerous amendments are number 1 and number 5. now that number 8 is off. Those two are the ones we have to be concerned about passing, because those will really hurt our tax base at the local level.
And public education as well.
Yes, it cuts into local services, so it shifts the tax burden on number one does, and then number 5 sets a supermajority as the needed vote to change any kind of tax bill in the future. So if they want to raise taxes, if they want to do away with tax breaks, they're going to have a 3/5 vote in the legislature, which is a steep, steep climb. So it will keep Florida from being able to address any emergency needs we have around the economy in the future. So I would say concentrate, concentrate on one. Well, 4 is a yes, definitely. So no on 1, yes on 4, no on 5. Those would be my 3 priorities. And then I'll let, of course, Sonia talk about
Now, Amendment 6 is also a little bit ambiguous, I think, too.
It is. Number 6, so 1 and 2 are about homestead taxes, about the property values and property taxes. Number 5, I've already talked about. Number 3 is a gambling amendment. 4 is the rights restoration. 6 was put on by the CRC, and it is going to stay on the ballot. It's called Marcy's Law. It was named after a woman who was the victim. She was murdered out in California, and her brother and her family have had this nationwide campaign to get Marcy's Law passed to give victims rights. The problem with this particular amendment is that we already have strong victims' rights in Florida, and what this would do is it would take away rights from the accused, and also take away the ability of to a speedy trial. We don't know the cost of that, because you could not have a trial if the victim's family couldn't be there. The courts would have to check to make sure their calendars were free. So the implications for that amendment go way beyond what it says in the language of the amendment.
Right, and it's weird how they don't add all of that in. The cost, like you were just saying, what's going to happen if you can't have a speedy trial? Then the state, who's going to be picking up the tab for that?
Yes, many of these things could be done through statute. They don't have to go into the Constitution. What's happened with the CRC is that they want to get something bad passed that they don't want to do through statute, so they have bundled together 2 or 3 good things with one kind of poison thing. So the confusing language alone should be enough to get all of those thrown off the
ballot. Even Amendment 9 is confusing, because they added on the ban on oil and gas drilling with the ban on vaping and smoking indoors. That's kind of weird. Why would they would even put that in there?
Well, because my own theory, they didn't want the offshore drilling ban passed, so they threw the vaping in to kill off just enough votes to keep it from passing. That would be my guess.
That's horrible.
Because it's a 60% threshold, which is a high threshold to cross to get these passed. And again, I'd be happy to come on and talk in greater detail. These are so confusing, because when you think that 6 of these amendments, let me see if I've got that number right, 6 of these amendments have 3 to 4 different topics or different issues involved. So we're really looking at 25, 30 different things we're going to be voting for or against and need to talk about. The other thing I would urge everybody to keep in mind is, don't just vote yes on the ones you support. You need to vote no on the ones you oppose. Don't leave them blank, because if you oppose them, leaving them blank will count as a yes vote, because they only count the total votes when they're looking at that percentage. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And we just want to tell our listeners, we are speaking with Susan Smith, who is the president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. And she's going to stay on the phone while we speak with Sonia Stratemann. Mm-hmm. And Sonia and her family started rescuing greyhounds 15 years ago. They visited many kennels and in their local area, and what she saw made her an activist right away. They started rescuing unwanted greyhounds who were injured, and she rehabilitated them, and then she found homes for over 2,000. She's also the founder of the Elite Greyhound Adoptions, Inc., and she's here in our studio with her daughter, Maya. So welcome to the show. And Susan is going to stay on so she can jump in at any time while you're speaking. So tell us a little bit about Amendment 13 and why you jumped into to help.
Amendment 13 is to end dog racing in Florida. Starting the rescue 15 years ago, I adopted one greyhound and went into the kennels and saw how they lived. The first thing you see when you walk into a racing kennel is just cages, just stacked cages filled with dogs. Very little area for them outside to, you know, they go out to relieve themselves, but the pens are very small. They put 20 to 30 dogs in each pen. That's why they're muzzled all the time, because they're, you know, just in such close quarters. The bedding is just old, cheap, you know, pieces of carpet that they've pulled out of dumpsters. They wash them by dunking them in bleach water. It's very sad when you walk into a racing kennel. And the next thing, I saw all of the injuries. So many dogs left in their cages without having legs treated. And I started with the broken legs. I started taking in broken legs. And we've taken in over 2,300 greyhounds since, and hundreds of those with broken legs.
Right, and that's one of the ones, Susan, that I am telling my friends to vote yes to end dog racing, correct?
Absolutely. That's one that the Progressive Caucus has said a yes vote on. One of the things that has happened in Florida is it's coupled, the greyhound racing or dog racing, is coupled with another kind of gambling, with card games. So what this amendment would do is separate it so you could have the card games could still go on. And it's not, dog racing is a dying sport. We're one of the few states that still has it. And most of the kennel, the dog racing.
Actually, 12 of the 18 dog racing places are in Florida.
Yeah, actually, it's now Miami.
Go ahead.
One of the tracks in Miami actually just switched to Hi-Li, so we have 11 of the 17 tracks now. Yeah. So and it's huge.
So where do you think, Sonia, where do you think we lost our messaging with the lack of compassion for these animals? What happened to society that we make money off these animals and then we just discard them like old pieces of furniture with no compassion, and yet still there are people like the Florida Greyhound Association who sued to have this amendment removed from the ballot? What happened to society? Why are we like this?
Actually, greyhound racing is still, it's a state mandate. The tracks have to have live performance to have their poker rooms, to have their casinos. That's the only reason. If people knew what really went on, most of the people that we meet don't even know that this still exists. They think that, you know, it was banned years ago, and actually it's illegal in 40 states in our country. And then we have the vast majority of tracks in Florida. So that's the only reason it's still going on. Like I said, if people knew the abuse, if they knew, since in the past decade, over 400 greyhound dogs have tested positive for drugs. 72 of those have been cocaine positives. You know, it's just now coming out. We just now finally have a chance with this going on the ballot to finally end it.
And, so Susan, and in this amendment, too, it says that dog tracks would be allowed to use their permits.
Correct.
To do other paramutual sports. So they could still do the poker rooms and still do all of those other things under this.
Well, that's what Susan was saying. Yes. So, Susan, why did it take so long? Well, I guess it's every 20 years you get to put an amendment. But why wasn't something done before?
Well, the legislature has tried to do something about it, and it's been bipartisan, the efforts to you know, do drug testing and prevent different kinds of drug use, and all, a lot of those have been introduced. But because the lobby, the Greyhound breeders lobby, I guess, has been so, it's been too great to overcome. So much money has been poured into it. So this is a bipartisan effort. The Republican Women of Florida and the Democratic Progressive Caucus co-wrote an editorial, an op-ed, in favor of this amendment. So I think it does have a lot of bipartisan support. It's just it couldn't get through the Florida legislature in its current makeup.
So that's why it's on
well,
now.
The Florida, I'm just reading this now, and the Florida Chamber of Commerce are against it.
That's
well.
Right.
Again,
So Sonia, what else are you doing to take? I mean, are you you and Maya? Maybe we should have Maya jump in if you want to. But are you going to? What other avenues are you using to communicate what's going on with this with the Greyhound race? And because you're traveling and you're doing, you're mm-hmm. trying to we educate actually, people, right?
Yeah, we have a great grassroots or campaign going on right now. Protect Dogs, Yes on 13. It's great. We have. Volunteers grow at the it's growing every single day, more and more people finding out about it, wanting to help. It's really amazing how many people are supporting us.
I think the question would be to ask people who oppose this amendment is, would you treat your own dog this way?
That's
correct.
That's what we ask people all the time.
Right. And what answers do you get?
They can't even believe it's still going on. Nobody wants to see dogs. You know, we love dogs and nobody wants to see them go through what they're going through. And most people don't know once they find out. And that's why we're working really hard to educate people on what really happens. Things have been hidden for so many years with Greyhound racing. People just haven't seen it. They just don't know. And once they know,
Are the people that own these Greyhounds and that are doing all of this bad treatment, are they denying the fact that
they do? Yes. And actually, like for me in particular, because they do know for 15 years, I've been such a big part of it, taking in the dogs. I do know what goes on. I have seen it for so many years. I have so much proof of it. They have blacklisted me. I am not allowed to take in any more dogs. They persecute me on
the one
Facebook.
Person with
they
a good
to,
heart
they yeah. try to discredit me because they know I know.
Well, Susan, she brought a whole bunch of pictures, and they are so it makes you want to cry. There's blood on these
it
dogs
your heart.
Yes,
yes.
And on average
and
a greyhound
said he wasn't
they said a greyhound dies every 3 days in the state of Florida.
Yes, mm-hmm. Actually, a greyhound dies on average one every 3 days on Florida tracks. There, since 2013, when they started reporting deaths, there have been 483, I believe it is, unless the new records show more, but at least 483 deaths on Florida tracks just since 2013.
And that's just on the track. That's
are
not
just
including
on
the ones that were put down because of injury or because of...
Correct.
So how can we help?
Correct.
How can we spread the message? I'm sure you need more volunteers. And give us your website so maybe we can start putting up on our website, and maybe Susan could share it as well, so that we can help pass Amendment 13.
Okay.
And also we can probably get some more people to volunteer to help save these dogs.
That would be wonderful. It's protectdogs.org is the website. And on Facebook, it's Protect Dogs, Yes on 13.
I know, Susan, is this? So, Susan, you were saying that, yes, the dogs are mistreated and the owners do deny it. Why do you think they deny it? I mean, people want to make money, I understand, but the evidence is there. There's clear proof that they're doing this to these animals.
I can't explain it, but I have heard that the racetrack owners don't want to do it. It's really it's the breeders more so than the racetrack owners because they do lose money on it, I believe. It is a dying, as I was saying, it's a dying game. I won't call it a sport, dying game. And most of the, they aren't making money on this. They make money on the other gambling that goes on inside the facility. But the way the law is written, they can't separate it without doing this constitutional amendment. so that they can still have the gambling but not have the dog track. And they're giving them time to phase it out, too. Isn't that correct? It's not going to happen overnight. They've got till, I believe, 2020.
It's a 26-month
phase-out. In
order
to phase it out so that the dogs that are currently racing can be retired, and then so the owners the owners and breeders will have some time to adjust.
So how do we spread this message to people who are going to be voting on November 6th, or even early voting? When does early voting start, Susan?
It's 2 weeks out. I don't have the date handy. I can look it up.
Because we need to...
Maybe 22nd, 23rd of October. The best thing that we can do is look to you can look at our caucus's website, flprogressive.org. We have our recommendations listed. You can go to the League of Women Voters, because we are in agreement with them on all but two, where they took no opinion and we said no. The League has very good information. There's a website called Ballotpedia that lists all the amendments and gives you the history, and you can go read the full language that's going to be on the ballot. So there are some resources out there. I've been very disappointed that the newspapers have put very little information out. It's been difficult to know what the resources are, but if you go, I would suggest your first place is the League of Women Voters. For
well, that's why we had people that
their
called
website
us,
and the Miami Herald did a great job.
Yeah, the Miami Herald was good, but that's why, like, I work with people, and while we're out on campaign and knocking on doors and stuff, people are saying, "Well, I don't really know much about these amendments, and there's so many of them that I don't know which one to vote yes on." I said, well, you've got to read them and understand them. But, unfortunately, we live in a state right now where people they're blindly led by other people who tells them how to vote, what to say, what not to say. And they're not really keeping people's interests at heart either when they tell them what to do.
And it's also, most of these, you read them and you have no idea what they actually
I think
mean.
For this amendment, for Amendment 13, I think if you tell people that your vote can end this cruelty, I think if you use that word, I think maybe you'll get their attention.
Right.
And then you go on to speak about what happened to these dogs, and people make money off of them, the breeders, like Susan said. So is that what your message in right
yes,
now?
Yes, yes. It's cruel and inhumane. Dog racing.
Mm-hmm. That's our message on it also.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. So if you want to, Susan, we have a few minutes left. If you wanted to add anything else, how we can protect these dogs. And where do we go from here once the dogs are transitioned and they're moved out of these premises? What happens then to these places? They can stay open and gamble and have card games and all that, correct?
They can continue doing all those things, and
horse
it's
racing.
My understanding from the Greyhound Rescue people that they have homes for these dogs. The Greyhound breeders, the people on the other side, say that these dogs would have to be put down, and it's my understanding that that's not true. They already have people that are willing to take the dogs, so that should not be an argument in favor of it.
And the thing is, once you start talking about the dogs and people who really do have a compassion for animals, then they start looking at horses. Because my sister-in-law said to me this morning, she says, when we travel around the world and you have all these people that you travel, they have these little carts that the horses are pulling human beings. And she said they hit the horses so they can go faster. And she says, I don't want to even ride in those little carts with the horse and the buggy anymore, because the horses are getting hit with a stick. So I think, I think at some point, once you see the cruelty to one animal, then you start seeing it to the other ones as well. It opens our eyes, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Well,
it did mine. And there's a great PowerPoint. I'm sure you have access to it. I think you can probably find it online, that shows the pictures and the reports. And this is all public record from documented sources. It's not made up stories about these dogs. Am I correct?
Yes, I actually printed out. I have the only county in Florida that does do injury reporting It's not, Florida does not require injury reporting. The racers have actually fought hard to keep it that way, because if people knew how many dogs were injured, you know, this would have been done a long time ago. But I did print out the last, it's June, July, and August, the injury report just for Sanford Orlando. There were 11 broken legs, 5 tendon injuries, 1 puncture, and 2 deaths. So that's just one county, just in the last few months. Mm-hmm.
So, Sonia, how can we help? I mean, I'm sure you have to partner up with businesses to help fund the activities that you guys are doing, because you have to take care of the dogs' medical needs, food, shelter. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we help? I mean, who helps with the funding? Do you have anybody that's helping with that?
In the last 15 years, we've just, you know, we've had private dog lovers help us with the funding, and then my family, of course. Right now, protectdogs.org, you can go on and donate there to help with our campaign to end this. And then there's over 300 greyhound specific rescues all over, you know, throughout the country and Canada.
And yours is called Elite.
Mm-hmm, Elite Greyhounds. Mm-hmm.
And you're also the director at the Florida Grey 2K USA Worldwide, so it's 2 charities?
Well, yes, I recently have become a board member of Grey 2K USA, and I'm really very proud of that. They are the largest greyhound welfare organization in the world, so I'm very, very proud of that.
I mean, I this is amazing. Some people just find their passion and they go with it, and you've got Maya, who is right there along with you, that's helping with this. Well, Susan, this has been a really nice segment, and I just wanted to thank you. I did get endorsed by the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida for my campaign as well, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we're thrilled to endorse you, and we wish you luck with your campaign, and we wish also the people who are working, who are dedicated to Amendment 13, luck, and we're doing what we can to help with it. And if you want me to come on again and go into more detail, it's just that it's so time consuming to go through each of the amendments, but I'm happy to do it. We've spent quite a bit of time studying them, and I think, you know, I have a somewhat good grasp on them.
Yes,
I promise 100%.
I know you do, but what I've been doing is, you know, I have that card that I think I got from from the Progressive Caucus, and it's really nice. It has all the amendments on it. I think they had the one that was removed as well, which I kind of scratched that out. But the easy...
Well, yes.
That was 8, right?
Yeah, 8 is off right now. 3 more might be off, but the numbers will not change.
So,
on the others...
Right,
the
so the yes.
Stay.
So we'll so still it, say yes on
yes,
3 and 4.
The ballots, the early ballots are going to be mailed out very soon, so they could be on the ballot even though the court removes them after the fact. So
I
just
see.
Know that the numbers won't change.
Well, for friends who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we're speaking with my friend Susan Smith, who is the president of the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida. Sonia Stratman is here. She is with the Elite Greyhound Adoptions, Inc. We were talking about Amendment 13 and how to save these dogs and to vote yes on Amendment 13. And her daughter Maya and Gary's here. He's coming up the second segment. Ellen is here. And I tell you, I love having shows like this, and I will have you back, Susan, because this is a very important issue, and a lot of people need your voice to, you know, guide them. We're not telling them what to do, but I think by giving them the information, it's so valuable that they should start thinking about these amendments and how it affects our state, and it affects our taxes, our property values, our environment, education, everything that we hold near and dear to us, so that we can have a good life, and not just for us, but for everybody else in the state of Florida.
That's right. And the time to do all of this research is not 5 minutes before you get to the polls. So take the time
exactly.
Now. I've already put the 2 websites up on our Facebook page, right underneath our Facebook Live, actually. So everyone can go to that and get educated. And we're going to take a quick station break here, Sita, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Susan, for tuning in and for calling in, and we'll be right back after these quick messages from our sponsors.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, Enso, and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul-away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no-credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And this is the part of our show where I get really strong and my voice picks up, you know. But this is where Ellen tells our audience about all our downloads and where they can find our shows and why we take so many pictures, and not because we want to be on pictures all the time, but people do like the
part
pictures.
Of it is, yeah.
Part of it is, like, part of it is. People do, but you know what? They read it more when you put up a picture with it.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Right. So we are on CETA. We have our own website, CETA Media Inc. You can also find it by CETAmedia.com, both are .com. And all of our shows are posted there. We actually have the radio broadcast piece is one of the tabs, so you can, about 5 minutes after the show is over, it seems like that thing pops right up, so you'd be able to download it right from the radio show. Of course, I clean it up a little bit and then I repost it with our pictures and so forth and give all of the valuable information that we've provided during the show, so that you can get all of the websites and all of the information there.
Right.
We get about I don't know. It's been creeping up a little bit. The last few months, it's been creeping up to, it's like 2,000, 2,100 downloads a week.
Yes.
And that's off of iTunes, and that's under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Certainly, Facebook is a place that you can also download it. It just brings you back to all of our stuff.
Right. And
a lot of it has to do with your success in finding all these great guests, Sita.
I try. You know, I have to say, I always find great people because I think you get back in life what you put out. And if you're positive, people come your way as well. And people who just want to do great things for humanity. I also wanted to take this opportunity to give a big shout out to the Trinidad and Tobago. It's called the Trinbago Knight Riders, the cricket team. They won yesterday. And our team in Trinidad is owned by the Bollywood star Shah Rukh Khan from Bollywood.
Oh, very cool.
And my sister keeps sending me all these cool videos with dancing and I tell you, if they could just clean up the crime in Trinidad and Tobago, I would purchase a second home there in a heartbeat. I'd love to go home and spend 6 months a year when I get older, you know.
Yeah.
I'm young right now. Yeah. But anyways, so this...
when you grow up.
So our second segment, we have Gary Rowan, who is here, and he was recommended by a friend of our show, and he contacted me, and then we played telephone tag for a little bit, and here he is. So Gary has... he's an author. He's done syndicated reviews for various newspapers and periodicals, and which include the Midwest Book Review, the Orlando Advocate, the St. Cloud News, Osceola News Gazette, Arithmetic Souls. Boy, that sounds Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So, Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself and which book you're going to talk about today.
Well, we're going to talk about Journey, possibly The Forgotten Father also, because they're two different books and they're very current. I want to add that when I'm out and about, as you pointed out, a mutual friend let you know about me, and I jumped on the opportunity. I'm always doing that. And in fact, I used to be in the beachside resident, but with the hurricane last year, something happened to the publication, and they kind of stopped doing things. They were doing a Facebook, I think, but I couldn't really contact them, but I was here before, you know, had lunch out, found the publication, talked to them already. I'm going back to Orlando to send them some book reviews, and then I'll be doing some things with that to promote my books.
So that happened today?
That happened today.
Well, look at, see, yeah. Great things come just because he came on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Now, exactly.
Now, your books, I looked at the titles mm-hmm. of your books, and one of them, The Forgotten Father.
Yes.
And then you've got another one, Cats, and More Cats,
yes.
Royal Fireworks. Mm-hmm. You've got another one, Look at Me World.
Yes.
Made by Man. And then, of course, the one that I fell in love with was Slotsky's World.
Yes, Slotsky's World is coming. It's under consideration as of today with a publisher, Wordfire. I sent it out to them just the other day. I had a publisher, but... things happened. They got busy. I got busy. And so we kind of said no. It's the same publisher as Forgotten Father. And so I'm not too bothered by the fact that it fell by the wayside, so to speak. But it gave me the opportunity to do some things with it. Forgotten Father is a different type of book. It's more like Look at Me World, which was a book of poetry that was about myself and my family and different things. And that was written when I was about 22. My publisher was my parents and myself. We published the book in the 1970s. Forgotten Father, I wrote in the 1980s. And it was also incorporating something that happened to me at the death of my son. And I learned a lot of things and used it as therapeutic whatever for me. And
how
always
old
knew
was
I
your
would
son?
Get, my son was 2.5 months. He died of sudden infant death.
Yeah, and I remember talking to you on the phone, mm-hmm. and you know, something stuck with me, what you said. And mm-hmm. Sonia, you might, you know, this might strike a chord with you as well, because it goes to the core of compassion and who we are as human beings. And he said, oftentimes when a child dies, everyone focuses on the mother. But
exactly.
but they don't come up to the father and say, how do you feel? And boy, yeah, that hit me right in my heart, because I do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And we all have.
And ever since
that's
you told me that, I went up to a friend, a couple of friends actually, who's lost their children, and I went to the dad and I said, how are you doing? And you lost a child as well?
I think my husband would very much
the same. Oh my goodness.
But it's always the same. Well. And that's why I decided to present this to the publisher, Taylor & Seal. And Taylor & Seal jumped on it and said, hey, this is something that we want to publish and we want to market. And I've
because it's the truth.
It.
And, yeah. And it's nice that you could use your books to reach our hearts.
Exactly. And it's very touching is what people are telling me. And again, I wrote it to be therapeutic for me, to help get me through
but
the situation.
But I think it's going
to
help her,
but
too. So how old was your child?
17.
And that's what I found. That it doesn't matter of the age of the child.
Right.
Male or female. It matters that nobody seems to consider the father. They always consider the mother, and that's what they did with me.
So what did you do, like when someone came up to your wife and say, how do you feel? How what happened then?
Well, they would come to me and they'd say, how's your wife doing? I'd say, oh, she's doing fine.
That's exactly.
And then I would not say anything. I wouldn't do anything because I didn't want to seem that
weak.
I was upset.
Oh, weak.
Or whatever to them, because there was one time I did. And a woman said, well, you have your guiding angel. I said, I'd rather have him here.
Yeah.
And she's like, and so I learned from that experience. And that is a condition typically with grief. There are others. And so when I went back to college and learned my craft of writing even more, I presented several stories in classes, and they're in the book Journey. One of those stories incorporated things I had learned from grief. So what I'm going to say is that a writer is always learning, always doing things and bringing in things that happened to him or her of their own lives and then putting it in as fiction. And the story is Anniversary, where a person is 1 year from the time his father died. He can't sleep. He's having trouble doing things. He gets into fights at work. He's doing all kinds of things. And it's all because of the grief. And it's manifesting itself in that when his father died, he was not in Orlando. He was in Boston at work. And he's feeling the guilt of that 1 year later. And that is part of grief. And so he never dealt with it. He's a type of individual. He never dealt with anything. And so it was a story that I told.
You're a good storyteller, too, by the way.
You
keep us engaged. It's a craft, a master. You're a master of this
it's
craft.
It's a craft. Yeah. My dad was a writer, but he wrote true crime. And I was his agent for one of the books that we got published. And so I've been in this business since the 1970s. As different things, and that's why it's not any problem for me to call somebody and say, hey, I understand you are looking for a guest, I'm not afraid to do it.
Yeah. So where do you get your ideas? Tell us about your writing process, and where do you get your brainstorm, your ideas?
The ideas come from something as simple as I was in a restaurant, and a woman said, oh, boy, and she was talking about her evening. And how bad it was, maybe. And I said, oh, girl. All of a sudden, I write down, oh, girl, and I've got a whole situation going.
With this girl.
with a girl. Yeah, exactly. And it's another character who says, well, who is she? No, there's no girl. Well, who is she? I want to know who she is. And it goes on and on and on. And I call that story Conversation. And I put it of a tape that some androids on the moon are listening to learn how to be more human. And I called it Conversation. And my bear character.
You could just call that book Oh Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's one of the ways.
So where do you write the most? Where do you find is your comfort zone to write?
My comfort zone is I start taking notes on something that somebody says. I'll give you an example. In one of the newer short stories, two women were in a restaurant. They were sitting there talking about something. One of them says she was asked to attend a pool party where they were going to have a party at this guy's swimming pool. And she said, I'll come, but I won't go swimming. And he said to her, why? And she says, because my suit will get wet. And I thought, wait a minute. You're not going to go
to a swimming party.
You're not going to go to a swimming party because you're going to get your swimming suit wet.
I mean, she said her head. I would understand. You could understand that.
I could understand it. But her swimming suit? And so I was sitting there, and I said, what? And I got into a dialogue with them, and I said, that is so perfect. I've got to use that in a short story. And they said, what? Give you another example. And it finished a story, because I was asked about this the other day when I did a presentation at the comic convention in Kissimmee, and somebody says, do you ever have writer's block? I do.
I think most writers do, yes.
But how do I compensate? What I do is I start writing some reviews. I do other things. In one of the stories, I put aside, and I call it Eradication. And I started it, and it was something that was happening in Orlando about the Medfly. And it's my detective character. He puts the TV on, he comments and says, oh, okay. Well, I put it down because I didn't know where I wanted to go with it. I picked it back up, started again with it, redid a little bit. It's a starship commander. He's showing a woman his starship that's in space dock, and she kills him. Well, back on Earth in St. Petersburg, Florida, his mother is playing chess in Manor of Menorahs, and I made fun of Menorah Manor, and so I call it Manor of Menorahs.
I know right where that is. I'm from that area.
Okay, I know right where that is.
What an imagination he's got.
Her name is Valessa Shaw, and I took part of the name of a friend of mine. His mom had been in there, and so I used that. So she gets a communication. She's like, something's happening to my son. And so she can't get anybody to believe her that something's happened to her space captain son. And then a detective comes. He talks to her. Now, I was in a restaurant in Orlando, and there were two waitresses. One had red fingernail polish. I commented on the polish. She says, I don't like it. I said, well, why don't you like your fingernail polish? And she says, I don't like it. So she left, and I put, okay, doesn't like. Had started a conversation with a character. Well, what color would you like? Sea green. All of a sudden, it got me going. That's how I finished this story, because an ambassador comes into the restaurant on the spaceport, and my bear character's in this story. And so the ambassador is named Sigwa from the planet something. I forget what exactly. But she's the ambassador. She has sea green streaks in her hair. She has sea green. She wears sea green. She has sea green shoes.
Sounds like the making of a movie. Sea green.
Yeah, sea green.
Right, sea green. So
you got to be careful if you've got writer's block. If Gary has writer's block around us, because we'll show up in a book. See,
yeah.
But we'll be on some planet though.
So perfect was the other one. The other waitress said that she had a parrot, and she had a ceremony, and I thought she had a funeral. She's talking about she had the ceremony. I said, what ceremony? She says, where you dip somebody in water. I said, you mean a baptismal? I said, you mean a baptismal? She says, yeah, baptismal. I said, oh, my God. That's it. That's in a short story. And that is what Valessa tells the detective, that you have a parrot. There's a baptismal. A cat eats the parrot. The cat is Baptist.
Wow. What motivation that he got right there.
Yeah, that was the motivation. Then I incorporated another aspect of a logic course that I had, and I had a very bad teacher. He talked this way. The cat is on the mat. It is raining outside. Therefore, when it's raining.
Okay, no more for radio.
Okay. Yeah. Therefore, when it's raining. Okay, the cat's on the mat.
So what you're saying is pretty much everyone you've come in contact with is a potential to be a character
exactly.
in a book.
Exactly. Right.
So
exactly.
for our listeners who are tuning in, this is Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends, and we're speaking with Gary Rowan, who's an author. So Gary, do you remember the first book you ever wrote and how it made you feel when you sold your copies of that book?
Yeah, Look at Me World. I sold my first copies, and I was ecstatic that this is something I wrote. And I get that way every time I have a new book and I sell copies, or someone tells me they really, really like what I write, because that's the ultimate compliment to any writer.
That's right.
Exactly.
And what most authors get asked questions, and one of the questions that we always get. I mean, I wrote my book, 18 Brothers and Sisters, and I always, I know what my fans mean to me. What does your fans mean to you?
Well, like I say, the fans mean to me that when they come to conventions and actually tell me that I've read your book, I like what you're what you write, when you're going to do something else, that's the ultimate compliment to me. That's the great thing.
That they want then, more of you.
Yeah,
they want more.
They want more of this bear character. And I never knew that there would be any of these stories when I started writing him. And he just came to me because I met the actual physical bear, and he was it.
And now, not only is he finding characters from humans, but from teddy bears. But I wanted to let Sonia jump in here, because you were whispering that you also lost a child. Are you comfortable talking on air about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Gary was saying, to go back to his book about the dads, you were nodding about that.
My husband, and he has a really great support group of friends, but I have noticed that, especially as time goes on, people are still worried about me,
That's what I noticed with it.
Why do you think our society is like that when it comes to men? It's almost like they want the men to bottle up their feelings,
right?
And the men, it's like a stigma. You're being seen as weak, or you can't accept reality. We shouldn't be like that, because I think grief, in many ways, if you talk about it, you communicate with people, cry a little bit. It's okay to shed some tears, right. I think.
Well, it's just what I'm saying is, don't forget us, that we are grieving too. I think
that's the name of a good book. Yeah, we are grieving too.
Exactly. That's my follow-up.
That's a really good.
Yeah.
I think to answer your question, it's we put men on a high pedestal that they're supermen, that they can deal with anything. And the macho mentality that we've had for so long, I think that's part of the problem. I think it's changing, but it's not changing quick enough.
Men
for me.
Needs love.
Yeah.
And they need appreciation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
exactly.
And I always say to my friends, you know, sometimes just shock your husband or your significant other and say, I love you. Thanks for what you do. And you know what? I've done that quite a few times. And then my husband would be like, did you hit your head? I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm experimenting.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you just randomly send a text and say, you know what? That was really nice of you that you did. And blank, whatever it was, right?
My husband would think that I had more dogs or something.
Yeah.
He would say, what else did you get breathing at home?
Or he'd say, how much do you need for dog food?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you probably think you're hitting him up for some cash. But I think it's nice, when we say be nice, we should not only concentrate on being nice to, I mean, some women are nicer to their friends than their husbands.
It's true.
I've heard once a lady said when her friend calls and she picks up the phone, she says, hey girl, what's going on? And then the husband, what do you want? So I think we have to live by example sometimes, and simple reminders that those around us need a lot of love as well, not just people outside of our circle. And I think that's what your books do, Gary. Your books are making us question who we are as human beings and what can we do for others. Because you talk a lot about compassion, and you talk about the forgotten person inside of us.
Well, with the fiction, I just want to tell a good story, because I was at a science fiction convention years ago with many people who were major science fiction writers. Jack Williamson was one of them, from the golden age of science fiction, and he took me aside and said, I've always wanted to ask a critic what you look for. And I said, well, I can't speak for everybody, but I look for this, and I look for an author to tell me a story with a beginning, middle, and an end, and do it well. And so he had an entourage with him, and that entourage starts laughing. And he pauses, and he says, that's what I've been trying to teach my writing classes for years. And I felt in good company, and now that I'm doing my own and still continuing to do the reviews, I strive to do one thing. That's tell a good story with a beginning, middle, and an end, whereby people want to come back and they want to
They want a little more of Gary.
Yeah.
So we have about 4 minutes left. And for that, would you give us your website? And then if you could talk a little bit more about that bear for me. Mm-hmm. We need your website and the names
of
your books.
Well, I don't have a website per se, but
okay,
people can go
buy
to
your books?
Okay, they can go to amazon.com, they can go to
any
bookstore.
And I posted the link to your page because you
okay,
have a...
Okay, the link to my page is just look up my name, Gary Rowan, R-O-E-N. I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn. It will take you directly there.
And you do a lot of public speaking as well.
I do.
So if people want to book you for, how do they find you if they want to book you for an event?
They can contact me through the Facebook. They can contact me through the email that I have, gsrowan@aol.com. And speaking of that, I'm going to be at the Hart Memorial Library the 13th of October for a cat event titled Cat Fair. That is a Saturday when I'll be selling copies of Cats, Cats, and More Cats.
I think you just found somebody here who's going to be voting yes on Amendment 6, Amendment
13
as well.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think he loves dogs as well. So, Gary, do you have any favorite authors of your own?
Oh, my God. Richard Matheson, Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, Arthur Clarke, James Patterson.
Oh, I knew you were going to say him.
Stuart Woods. And those are just some. But all genres. I love all of them.
Right. And so, Ellen, you got his website, right?
Yes, yeah. And I have everything posted underneath once again on our Facebook page.
Fantastic.
So you can meet Gary and find out more about his books. Great picture of you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
No beard.
Yeah. I grew
great
it
hat,
because,
though.
Because I used to have a beard, and I think a beard goes with a writer.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever develop any characters that you didn't like? And then you said, I'm going to have to kill him off before he makes it.
Yes, I have done that.
And what do you do to him or her?
I killed him off.
There you go.
Yep.
You know what? I think sometimes I want to write a book about the patients that I've met along the way in the nursing homes. And I've got all my chapters already in my head, but I can't write it while I'm still actively working as a nurse, because I've met some characters, I tell you.
I'm sure you have.
And especially the patients with dementia. They're funny. And it's you know, so I think I want to do that later on. But I love how you take your passion and put it into words. And we really appreciate you coming on the show. So really quick, you said my bear is coming in another book.
The bear is coming in Slotsky's World. Journey was the first book with Slotsky.
30 seconds. How did you get Slotsky? In 30 seconds, can you tell me where you got Slotsky's name?
Yeah, I just was thinking about it. How could I come up with this character? And it's in the actual first story of how I came up with the name Slotsky.
Excellent. Can you imagine a bear with the name Slotsky? I just love him already, and he's not even here.
Well, once again, we're running out of airtime, Sita. So I want to say a farewell and goodbye to our friends just for the week. We'll be back on air next week. Thank you so much, Sonia and Maya, for being here, as well as Gary, and for Susan Smith calling in. It's been a pleasure once again, and we'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC.
Ville and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.